Well, good morning, church. If you're watching this, and it's January the 14th of 2024, then that means that we have decided to cancel our Sunday services because of the weather. And even though that we're not gathered together today in one place as a one body of Christ, I do want to remind us that it is still the Lord's Day. And since it is the Lord's Day, I thought it would be good to provide at least a little bit of something to make available this morning, so to hopefully encourage and to aid you in your worship that would go on in your own personal homes and with your family, or just by yourself as you fellowship with your Redeemer. Now, when weather is extremely cold, I often think of a particular psalm. Psalm 147 often comes to mind, and here in just a little bit, you'll see why this particular psalm jogs my memory when we have extremely cold weather. But if you happen to be watching this today, and it's not January of 2024, and it's not freezing cold outside, I trust that you're still providentially watching this for a reason, and we'll pray that you will still benefit from this remarkably warm psalm, as well as a remarkably frozen section of Scripture, and I will put that frozen in quotes there. But Psalm 147 is a song of praise from someone who is looking around at his world, and he begins praising God for everything that he is looking at and everything that he is seeing. He looks at his nation, which is the nation of Israel, and they had just returned from a terrible captivity, and they were back in the land of the land that they loved. And so he begins to praise God for God's faithfulness to his afflicted people. And then he turns his attention a little bit away from the people of God to the land, and to the sky, and to the heavens, and to the stars. And he looks at the created order, and he begins praising God for how he governs. He praises God for how he governs the stars. He praises God for how he governs the clouds. He praises God for how he governs the animals. And he even praises God for how he governs the weather and various weather changes. And so then after he thanks God for his world, for God's world, he ends up by thanking God for his word that he revealed to the nation of Israel. And so let's just, on this rather a cold Lord's Day morning, let's just briefly look at Psalm 147, and just a little food for thought, since we are not meeting together today. And so Psalm 147, let's just look at verse number 1. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, and it is pleasant, and praise is becoming." I mean, what a way to start to encourage us to worship the true and the living God, him saying that it is good to sing praises to our God. This ought to make June excited. I mean, it is good to sing praises to him. It is fitting. It is right to do so. I think one of the translations says it's beautiful to do so. And so when you think about, we're not meeting together today on this Lord's Day, but on this cold day when you're not at church and you're sitting at home, what are you to do? Well, guess what? It is good, and it is fitting, and it is right to sing praises to our God. And so you might just take a little bit of time today and sing to God within your home. You could just sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And with a heart full of gratitude and praise, sing a praise to God, because it is right to do so. It is fitting to do so, especially on this day, which is the Lord's Day. And I do want to remind us that even though we're not meeting together today and assembling together, yet today is still the Lord's Day. And it is the Lord's Day all day long. And so use this day in your own home to think more about God and to sing praises to Him and to pray to Him. Make good use of this day that is the Lord's Day. Let me read a passage from Isaiah 58, verse 13. We're going to be reading, "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, and seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord." It says that we can delight ourselves in the Lord when we delight in the Lord's day. So make good use of this Lord's day and read your Bible in your home and pray. You might, we're going to start this study on Sunday evening, A Life in the Body of Christ. You might review those, the first couple chapters that we're going to discuss here the next Sunday night that we read together. So make good use of the Lord's day. Praise Him and sing praises to Him. It is right to do so. Now look at verses 2 and 3. And in these verses, the psalmist remembers God's goodness to Israel and in their return from captivity. He said, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem and He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds." You can just almost feel the pain of all the life that they had lived in captivity, and now that they're back in the land. And so the psalmist is remembering this. And so maybe it would be good for us as well to remember the nation of Israel in our prayers today as well, with the war that is going on over there, and to remember that, God's people are a hated people. And so let's pray for God's people, not only the church, but let's pray for his physical people in the nation of Israel, and that God would heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. Well, then the psalmist kind of begins to turn his attention away from God's people in Israel. He mentions it a few other times in this psalm, but he turns his attention to the created order. And he starts to praise the Creator. In verses 4 and 5, he mentions the stars. He counts the number of stars, and he gives names to all of them. And he talks about his great power and his strength as he holds the universe together. In verse number 8, he says, "Who covers the heavens with clouds and provides rain for the earth and makes grass to grow on the mountains." And so he looks up, he sees the stars, and then he sees the clouds, and he thinks about the rain and the grass, and then his attention turns to the animals in verse number 9 and how God provides for them and feeds them. And so he begins to praise God for how He governs His world. And then his attention turns not only to how He governs the world, but specifically on how God governs the weather. And so get down to verses 15 and following, and let me just read this. This is what I want to draw our attention to. In verse 15, he said that He sends forth His command to the earth, and His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool, and He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth His ice as fragments, and who can stand before His cold? I mean, these verses here are why cold weather often reminds me of this particular psalm, Psalm 147. I love how the NIV puts it. He says, who can withstand His icy blast? And so here in these verses, cold weather is mentioned. It mentions snow and frost, hail or ice. It mentions the cold, these things that we are experiencing right now. And these inanimate weather events are not animated by nature. That they're not animated by something impersonal or some impersonal laws of nature. Now, where does snow and frost or ice and hail, where does the cold come from? Well, they happen not because of something impersonal, but they happen because of a person. God commands them to happen. I mean, notice the personal pronouns here before each of these events. Verse 15, he sends forth his command to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly. He gives snow. He scatters the frost. He casts forth his ice, and it speaks of his cold. I mean, notice who is making these things happen. It is him. It is a person. It is our great God that is commanding these things to happen upon the earth. Now, as Oklahomans, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's particular to us, but we seem to really like to be weather aware. We kind of want to be in tune with the weather. That's nothing new. Jesus got onto the people of his day. He said, you know, you can look at the sky and you can kind of tell what the weather is going to be like. And so, you know, people have always kind of had an interest in being weather aware. But I wonder if we are aware that, you know, it wasn't some kind of high pressure system or some low pressure system that changed our weather here over this last week to make it frigid and cold. It wasn't just some impersonal Arctic air mass that's changed our weather, and so now our weather is different this week than it was last week. No, the reason that our weather changed is because God, the Creator, commands the weather. He sends forth His command, and He gives snow, and He casts forth ice, and He sends His ice and His cold. It is His word that causes the weather to happen. You remember the account in the Gospels when the disciples were in a boat with the Lord Jesus, and a great storm came up, and they were scared half to death because of the storm. And Jesus gets up because the disciples says, "Hey, don't you care that we're going to drown? We're going to die here because of this dire weather." And Jesus says, "You have a little faith." And then he gets up and he speaks to the winds and the waves. He commands them. And they did exactly what he commanded them to do. We need to remember that the winds and the waves and the cold and the ice and the snow, they all obey Jesus' voice. And he is the one that commands our weather. You know, nature, or what we call nature, or the laws of nature, are just how God naturally governs the world. They're how he usually governs the world, and so we can recognize some of these patterns because they're kind of regular, they're usual, and there are naturals in life. There are things that kind of happen over and over again. There's this pattern, but every now and again, there's some supernaturals that happen in life. There's something a little bit unusual that happens. There are usuals in life, and there are unusuals in life. And miracles are really just when God governs outside of his usual way, his natural way, the way that natural laws normally work and how God normally governs his creation. And so meteorologists or the weathermen, they will observe patterns in how God usually and normally, how he normally governs the weather. His usual way of commanding weather patterns. But you know, God often reminds us that he is the one that controls nature. He's the one that's behind all of the changes. And so when we see some of these drastic weather changes, we ought to praise our God. We ought to praise Father God and not Mother Nature for how he governs his snow and his ice, for how he governs his world, for how he governs his weather. In fact, if you want some extra reading for today, you might read Job 38. And in that chapter, you can hear God's discourse with Job about the weather and about the world. And God questions Job about how God governs the weather. But you know, climate change and some of these extreme changes in our weather is a big political football these days. But I want to remind us on this Lord's Day that God has created climate change. And God is faithful to ensure and to guarantee that climate change happens. When we have these periods in our weather that go from one extreme to another and it changes, it reminds us that God is faithful and he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. In Genesis 8 and verse 22, God says that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I mean, what an amazing promise that as long as the earth is here, there's going to be some weather changes. There's going to be seed time and there's going to be harvest. There's going to be cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night. And you know what, church? God is faithful. And guess what? It's winter time. So guess what? God has made it cold and we feel his faithfulness in the weather. And you know what? God is faithful. And if he gives us a few more months and it will be summer again, then you know what? It's going to be warmer than it is today because God is faithful. It says he casts forth his ice, his fragments, and who can stand before his cold? But then in 18 it says, and he sends forth his word and he melts them. And he causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. God is faithful, and we can see it in how he governs the weather. I tell you, we ought to praise God today for his cold weather. This frigid temperature that we're feeling is a tangible reminder of God's faithfulness and how he and his governance of his creation. So on this very cold Lord's Day, praise the Lord. Because it is his day, and he has ordained it. He has set this day aside that we might, in a more complete and a more total way, worship and praise him and praise him in song. And not only has he ordained this particular day, but he has ordained his cold to accompany this day. And so, shiver your way to some praise of God today. And let me just close with a hymn, a familiar one. Maybe you could sing this one in your home today. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of his spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. Have a blessed Lord's Day.